Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
If you have your Bible, turn with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 41, 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to pick up in verse 41. Before we go any further, I just want to pray over us today. Lord, we come before you this morning, not through the ordinary and the mundane mindset, but Lord, we come to you humbly in your presence, expecting you to do great and mighty things in this place today. We invite you, Holy Spirit, by your power to move, to touch every heart and every life. I pray, Lord, that I would get out of the way, that I would just be an instrument and a vessel, and you would speak directly to your people today, unadulterated, uninterrupted. Lord, that your presence would go forth, that you would touch our hearts and our lives, and Lord Jesus, that we would grow and be fruitful in our life because of the work that you're doing in us today. And it's in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. I want to start like we do every week, and that's giving God all the honor, glory, and praise. Everything belongs to him. This is not about anything other than him. We are here today because there's one name that's highly exalted above every other name, and that is the name of Christ Jesus the King, and that's who we've gathered to worship. This morning, I want to talk to you about a message called The Art of Praying Through. The Art of Praying Through. How many of you guys are Panthers fans? Any Panthers fans representing in the house? All right. So I'll be honest with you. I was not much into the NFL when I moved to Charlotte. And over the years, people have been recruiting me to be a Panthers fan. They're like, you can't live in Charlotte and not root for the Panthers. So slowly but surely, I'm like coming along. I'm trying to find ways to root for the Panthers. I'm a huge college football fan. Let's go West Virginia Mountaineers. Yeah, there we go. But it actually just got a lot easier for me to root for the Panthers because y'all drafted two Mountaineers in this past draft. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. So now we're getting on the same page and it's starting to happen naturally. You know, I don't have to force my fan stuff, whatever it is. But anyway, so this year, this past football season, I started taking it seriously. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give this Panther thing a chance. And I'm going to watch some of these games. And I'm going to get excited. Well, this may not have been the best year for me to start becoming a fan. Because, y'all, I learned why they call them the Cardiac Cats. Because this year, I'm not kidding, almost every game that I watched, in the first two quarters, it was like 41-0. Like the Panthers would just like throttle whoever they were playing. And then at halftime, you're just kind of like, well, this game's over. And then the start of the second half, the Panthers kind of feel like they've got it won. And then the teams come right back, and it comes right down to the wire. In the last few minutes of the game, it's like a struggle to see who's going to win. And I'm like looking at everybody. I'm like, we were up 41 at halftime. Anybody witness? You know what I'm talking about? The Seahawks game, right? Anybody remember that one? Like, we were up crazy, and then, like, we couldn't finish. And this morning, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about, is I want to talk to you about the art of praying through. It's one thing to begin well. It's a whole nother thing to finish strong. It matters very little how you start. What really matters is how you finish. The Panthers could rack up 41 points in the first two quarters, but if they don't finish strong, they're in jeopardy of losing the game. How many of you know you can start a good race? Anybody can start something. Anybody can start a business. Anybody can start praying. Anybody can start coming to church. Anybody can start a relationship with God. But it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the art of praying through. I fear that many of us, we run to God in our time of need. We communicate with him. We pray with him. But the moment things don't happen on our timeline, after the first time we pray something and nothing happens, we have a tendency, our human nature sets in, and we give up and we throw in the towel. This morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of praying through to the breakthrough. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go and enjoy your meal, for I hear that a mighty rainstorm is coming." So Ahab prepared a feast, but Elijah climbed on top of Mount Carmel and fell to the ground and prayed. He said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." And the servant went and looked, but he returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go back and look, and 7 times he went. Finally, the 7th time, the servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a hand rising from the sea." And then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And sure enough, the sky was soon black with clouds, and heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. And now the Lord gave special strength to Elijah, and he tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariots all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, this morning, I want to set this up for you just a little bit clearer. I want to paint the picture. So we read this story and we're like, cool, Elijah prayed for rain and it eventually rained. Cool. But here's the deal. I need this to set in on you for a minute. It had not rained in 3 years prior to this moment. It had not rained in 3 years. Can you imagine that? 3 entire years have come and gone without any rain falling in the land. If it goes like a month without rain, Lake Norman is like way low, and y'all, it messes up your wakeboarding plans. It was messing up their world. It was messing up their culture. This is a dangerous thing. They were in the middle of a severe drought, and because of the severe drought, there was a severe famine in the land. These people were desperate. This isn't just a casual Sunday afternoon stroll in the park, and Elijah says, "Oh, well, Lord, hope it rains." This was a 3-year drought where it had not rained in this land. And the Bible says that Elijah heard that a great rain was coming. This morning, the first thing that I want to talk to you about in the art of praying through is that we must pray the will of God. We must pray the will of God. I'm going to just talk to you for a minute real fast, and I want you to know something, and I don't want you to take it lightly. We are in a season right now as the Church of Jesus Christ where He is answering prayer in an incredible fashion. We are in a season right now where we are literally watching the favor of God unfold before His people. I literally, in the past 3 weeks, I can't tell you how many prayers I have seen Him answer quickly. I'm telling you, the Lord is in a season where He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to answer the cry in your heart. I'm telling you, heaven is leaning into us. We must be a people who pray. Matthew 21:13 said that my house shall be a house of prayer, but instead you've made it a den of thieves. I want you to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, this is not a venue for entertainment. This is not a venue for community. It's not a venue for cool music and lyrics on the screen and good preaching. The Church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament church, He said, "Let my people, let my house, let it be a house of prayer. Let my people be a people of prayer, communion with me. Above everything else, let prayer be at the forefront of what they do when they gather together and who they are in their individual walk with me." Jesus said, I want you to make my house a house of prayer, but instead you've made it into a den of thieves. What's He talking about? You've made it into a den of thieves. He's talking about we've made it consumeristic. We've made the church what you can get out of it, how it can bless you, how you can get goosebumps, what God is going to do for you. We've made it into Target number 2, Walmart. I'm serious. The American church has seriously consumerized the gospel. and thus becoming a den of thieves. We're here to get from God, get from God, get from God, but we're not here to give anything back. But this morning, I want you to know that he said, I would have this house more than anything else for it to be a house of prayer. Elijah taught us in 1 Kings 18 that prayer is not something to take casually, and prayer is not something to take flippantly, but that prayer ought to be a sincere part of who we are in our individual walk with God and corporately when we come together. It cannot be neglected. Can I just talk to you for a minute before I go any further here? I am amazed at people who want to see God do great things in their life, yet they completely neglect the area of prayer in their life. I've been there. I've been that dude. I've been that guy who said, God, use me. God, do something great in my life. But I've neglected prayer. I've put it on the last priority. I've busied myself with doing things for God and communicating and being in tune with him. I put it on the side. And guess what happens every time? Your life becomes dry, you become weary, and you are not fruitful. But I'm telling you, anytime prayer and intercession parallels the work of the gospel, anytime the people of God get serious about prayer and relationship with him, I'm telling you, power, fruitfulness, and the sweetness of his spirit follows nearby every single time. Prayer is our connectivity to him, and without it, we are severed, and we are dry, and we are fruitless. Not getting any amens this morning, but that's all right. Even if you don't amen it, I'm going to keep preaching it, because I need it too. This morning, the art of praying through. Number one, we must pray the will of God. Look at your neighbor and say, pray the will of God. Tell them like you mean it. Now look, I know that sounds real generic. I know that sounds real generic, and it sounds like a blanket statement, and you're like, okay, pray the will of God, whatever that is. All right, but I just want to talk to you this morning about the power of this. I promise you, if you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth and you apply this scripture to your life, it will change the way you live. It'll change it forever. Elijah taught us that we must pray the will of God, not just whatever comes to mind. Too often, our prayer life looks like this: a list of problems. Our prayers are often initiated by what's not going right in our life. Our prayers are often initiated when we're going through a dry spell or a fruitless season. Our prayers often are littered with our problems and our fears and even our desires and our own human ambition. We come to God when things are bad. We come to God when we need help. But what about when times are good? What about when everything is great? Do we still seek him then? Do we still call on his name then? Our prayer life should not look like a list of all these things that, God, we need you to do. Our prayer life, we should be setting out to pray, not as consumers, God, give, 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 but Lord, how can we bring the kingdom of heaven to earth in our life? How can we do it? Now, I want you to notice something really powerful. Flip back with me. Look here at 1 Kings 18, verse 41. I want you to watch something incredible right here. The Bible says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go and enjoy a meal. Now remember, Elijah says this to him in the middle of a 3-year famine. This is a desolate time. He looks at Ahab and he says, hey, go ahead and have a feast. Go ahead and live it up. Ahab's like, what? Right now? And Elijah says, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Now, that might not seem significant to you, but I need you to listen to this right here. Before Elijah prayed for the rain, he heard that it was coming. Before Elijah climbed to Mount Carmel and prayed and sent his servant up 7 times and 7 times back, Elijah had already heard that the rain was coming. Elijah didn't just wake up and say, it'd be great if it rained today. He heard the voice of God. He heard the will of God, and then he prayed the will of God. One of the most important parts of the prayer life of a believer is that we listen more than we speak. We must learn that our prayer must consist of more than us talking, more than us just listing a laundry list of things that we need. But prayer first must begin in the stillness and in the quiet. The Bible says that we must be still and know that He is God. And it is in the stillness that we hear His voice. The Bible is clear. Elijah didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to pray for the rain. The Bible says that he heard that the rain was coming. Who told him? God did. And Elijah didn't just hear it and say, well, great, I'm glad it's coming. Elijah heard the will of God, and he prayed the will of God till it came. He prayed it till it came. This is incredible. It's way better than you're letting on. I'll promise you that. This is way better than you're letting on. It's way more powerful. In Luke chapter 11, verse 2, turn there with me really quickly. Jesus taught us how to pray. And he said this. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Luke 11, 2 says, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is teaching us that prayer is praying heaven to earth. Prayer is praying the will of God onto the earth. It's not us just coming up with whatever seems convenient at the time, that we must pray the will of God. But how can you pray the will of God unless you first hear it? How can you pray the will of God unless you first read it? How can you pray the will of God unless you first be still and know that He is God? Flip back with me to Luke 19, verse 11. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. This is incredible right here. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And from there, he heard the voice of God. Too often in our life, when we think about hearing from God, we expect some humongous, grandiose symbol. We expect God to give us this booming, loud, audible voice. Tyson. Well, that was really loud. Turn right. Turn left. We're looking for God in the wrong places. Too often when we're looking for God, we're expecting Him to speak through the radio, speak through the billboard, speak through some sign. We say, Lord, if it's really You, make a cloud in the shape of a dove, and then I'll know that it's really You. We get real creative with how we expect to hear from God, but you're not alone. Elijah did the same thing. He looked for God in the tornado, in the windstorm, but God wasn't there. Elijah looked for God in the earthquake, but the Spirit of God was not there. He looked for God in the fire, even God spoke to Moses through the fire, so surely God was in the fire, but God's voice was not in the fire. God's voice was not where man expects it to be. God is not speaking in a loud, booming, audible, grandiose fashion. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19 that the voice of God was found in the whisper. The voice of God was found in the whisper, the least likely place that Elijah could have ever dreamed. But that is where he heard the voice of God. That continue, that's harmonious with the rest of Scripture that says the voice of God is a still, small voice. That we must be still and know that he is God. Something about a whisper is that the only person who can hear a whisper is the person who's looking for it. Unless you whisper like me. When I think I'm whispering, I'm really talking loud. I try to whisper to people and I'm like, hey, and everybody in the room looks. But God is a better whisperer than I am, thank God. But have you ever listened to somebody who's whispering? You have to lean into them. You have to be looking intently at them. You have to be expecting them to be speaking to you. If you're busy with your life just going on in a daily routine, you will miss a whisper. If you got the radio blaring, you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch and what you're going to eat for dinner and breakfast the next morning. You're thinking about what you're going to do for your job, how you're going to finish this paper. We get so busy in life that we fail to hear the whisper. The thing about a whisper is that the only people who will ever hear it are the people who are looking for it. The only people who will ever hear the whisper are the people who are leaned in to the presence of God, anxiously awaiting his voice. You won't hear the whisper by accident. The people who hear the voice of God are the people who are looking for it. Elijah, he may have been looking for the grandiose signs, but at least he was looking. At least he was listening. At least he was leaning in. And because of it, he heard the gentle whisper. And I believe that in 18, chapter 18, when he heard that the rain was coming, he heard the voice of God. He heard the will of God speak to his soul, speak to his spirit, and say, the rain is surely coming. The rain is coming. I wonder, when was the last time that we took time to just be still in his presence? I wonder, when was the last time we set out to look and listen to the voice of God? I wonder, when was the last time before we started praying and giving a laundry list of things that we need, we first stopped and we got down and we just listened and we just waited to hear the voice of heaven and pray it through? God, forgive us for the times that we've cared more about our agenda than yours. I pray, Lord, that we would be a people who would be set on fire, that we would be passionate about the things that make your heart turn. I pray, Lord, that we would be a people who want to pray your kingdom to the earth, that we pray your will to the earth. Lord, that we would care more about your agenda than ours. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've been complacent and just gone through the motions. Listen, I need you to understand me really quickly. We live in an apathetic, comfortable society. And many times, even myself have been guilty that I don't pray like I ought to because subconsciously, I think that the will of God is always done. How many of you ever heard, well, the will of God will be what it'll be. It'll always happen, just whatever God wills. You ever heard somebody indoctrinate you with that God's will is always done? It's not. Newsflash, God's will is not always done. Scripture is clear on this. God, it is his plan. He loves all of creation. It is his will that every man and woman would repent and be saved and come into relationship with Jesus Christ. But the truth is that the will of God is not always done in the earth. There will be people who neglect him, people who neglect relationship, people who don't believe and fall away and are lost for all eternity. The will of God is not always done on the earth. That's why Jesus in Luke 11, 2 said, when I'm going to teach you how to pray, I'm going to teach you, pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Why would Jesus pray for his will to be done if it happened automatically? Because God is looking to move through people on the earth to bring his will into fruition. God is looking to use men and women just like you to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. He's looking and he's anxiously awaiting people like you who would pray his will into the earth, and through your prayers, heaven will move and respond on the earth. We think, well, the will of God will be what it'll be. You know, it'll happen how it's supposed to happen. It'll work itself out. Will it? Because the last time I checked, this book tells us that the will of God is not always done. But the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much before God. And whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I believe that God is waiting for the saints to start praying and the angels start moving and heaven starts moving. Can I just talk to you for a minute? Just on the real? Deviating from the notes a second. At this church, there have been moments where God has put it in my heart to pray for the lost. It should be every moment, by the way. But sometimes I'm a little fleshly, a little earthly, if you know what I mean. I know none of y'all can relate. But the leaders of this church, the staff people, they can tell you this. When we come together and we pray for souls, we pray for people who are lost, people who are broken, people who are hurting to show up in this place, for our paths to cross with hurting people that are broken and that are lost. Every time we pray that prayer, we watch heaven respond. True story. I prayed this prayer very distinctly, very intentionally a few months ago. And a couple days went by, several days went by, nothing happened. There were no immediate responses. But I just kept sticking with it and kept praying, Lord, pray that you'd bring souls. Pray that you'd bring people that are hurting and broken. And then Sunday morning shows up and, you know, we get busy. We're setting the church up. We're doing our thing, you know, getting ready. And then someone shows up at the prayer corner, tears flowing, and they're saying, I need to accept Jesus into my life. I'm lost, I've lost my way, and I need him. Yes, that's awesome. And as we stood back there in that prayer corner, and we started to pray for this person, tears streaming, the Lord, in his gentle whisper, spoke to me and he said, that's who you've been praying for. That's who you've been praying for. And I wonder how often heaven wants to move in your life that type of way, but the only thing that's hindering heaven from moving is our neglect of prayer and intercession. I'm telling you, if you will call on his name, if you will petition heaven for the things that move heaven, it will respond in the earth, and you will see the answer of prayer. You will see God move mightily in your life. And I'm telling you right now, every time we pray that prayer, we see it come to fruition. We've been praying for Axiom Conference. Y'all, we jumped off a cliff. Last August, we said we're going to raise 50 grand. Look around. This is a small church. We don't have a whole lot of money. And we jumped off a cliff. We didn't have a dollar. But we said, Lord, we've heard that you're calling us to do something. We've heard that you're calling us to step into this generation and make a difference. And we don't know how you're going to do it, but we're going to pray it all the way through. And let me tell you something, we still got a little bit of a ways to go, but as I stand here, we've raised $37,000 and we started with nothing. And I'm telling you right now, we are going to pray that through, and we're going to see every cent, every dollar come in that we need in the name of Jesus. We'll see it happen. Amen. We'll see it happen. And I don't say this braggadociously. I'm telling you right now, what would my life look like if I had been a person who stuck to prayer? If I lived a lifestyle of prayer, what would happen in my life? And I wonder what would happen in yours. God, forgive us for neglecting our most powerful weapon as a believer. And that is prayer. But it doesn't work the way where we just dream it up and say, Lord, I need a Mercedes. I need a Bentley. I'm going to pray it in. I'm going to pray that through. Look, we must lean in to the whisper of God. And he will speak right to your spirit. The Bible says that it is instinctive for man to know the voice of God. And when you hear his whisper, when you hear his direction, pray it through. Can I just talk to you about this for just one more second? I don't know if you're getting the magnitude of what is just being laid on you right now. God already told Elijah, it's going to rain. He already whispered in 1 Kings 18, the rain is coming. Elijah didn't fold up his arms and say, heck yeah, let's go party with Ahab. Let's go feast with Ahab. Let's go live it up. The Lord said it. It's going to happen. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! No, Elijah, when he heard the whisper of God, the Bible says in 1 Kings 18, when he heard that the rain was coming, he responded to the whisper by climbing up Mount Carmel and laying on his face on the mountain alone. And he began to pray and intercede until the rain started to fall. It's not just enough to hear the call of God. It's not just enough to hear the whisper of heaven. We must pray it through. Do you believe that today? Do you believe what I'm saying to you today? Your prayers are more powerful than you think they are. Your voice, when it calls out to the Father, is so much more potent than you think it is. Heaven is waiting on you to release his kingdom in the earth and to pray and pray life, pray bold prayers in his name. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in the whisper. Now, another thing, these notes are already just way gone, so I'm just going to keep talking to you as the Spirit puts it in my heart. 1 Kings 18 says this, when Elijah heard from God that the rain was coming, the Bible says that he climbed up the mountain. Ahab was throwing a party, and instead of partying with Ahab, Elijah climbed up the mountain. And the Bible says that he laid on his face before God. The King James Version says that Elijah put his head between his knees, which I don't even know how that happens, but he was praying. And basically what that's talking about is that Elijah put his body in a physical, submissive posture before God. In other words, saying, my flesh will bow to your spirit. My will bow to yours. And Elijah began to pray right there. He got up on the mountain and he escaped the distractions of this world. He climbed up the mountain to escape the distractions, the worries, the things that busied his mind. This morning, an effective and a powerful prayer life and the art of praying something through doesn't happen with you staying in the middle of all your distractions. It happens when you hear the whisper of God. You must separate yourself from the distractions of the world. You must separate yourself from the distractions and the cares of life and be alone in his presence and begin to cry out from that place where it's just you and him. Anybody ever tried to pray in the car and there's all distractions all around? Anybody ever tried to pray in a noisy room? Anybody ever experienced that? Elijah taught us we got to go away. We got to set ourselves apart that we might hear and commune with him. Can I just tell you something? Also as a believer, why is it that as a believer, we want to give God the last 10 minutes of our day, right as we're getting ready to fall asleep. We just give God what's left over. I believe that in our life, we ought to live in such a way that we block out some time in our day to just commune with Him. Intentional time that is set apart just for Him. You say, oh, well, I don't agree with that. Well, what's your life about then? What were you giving life for? If it's not for Him, if it's not to commune with Him, if it's not to bring His kingdom and His will to the earth, then what are you living for? I believe that we should be a people who don't just give God what's left over, but we should make time for the most important part of our day and the most important part of our life, and that is drawing close to Him and praying His will be done on the earth. You agree with that?
Amen.
So if you got to put it in your calendar, if you're one of those super organized people, put it in your calendar. And just while we're here, you know, sometimes we get so legalistic with this thing. They were like, well, how long did you pray? Well, I prayed 15 minutes. I prayed 20. Okay, y'all, stop with that, please, for real. Like, what in the world is that about? God is not timing your prayers. Just FYI. He's not like, okay, he prayed 37 seconds longer today than he did on Thursday. Like, God, yeah, hello. God is more interested in your heart than anything else. He's more interested in you, in your focus, in the motivation of your heart than anything else. I'm not telling you block out an hour, 3 hours. If you have that time, great. I don't know who you are, but if you have that, great. But what I'm saying is, I'm not getting legalistic on you, but I'm saying, what would your life look like if you began to prioritize time with Him? What would it look like? I promise you, your world would change. I'm telling you, God is moving mightily in His people. If you call on His name, He will answer. If you pray the prayers of heaven, if you pray what is on His heart, I'm telling you, He'll answer. You say, well, I don't know how to hear from God. I don't know this lean in, whisper thing. I don't know how to pray the will of God. Okay, well, if you can't hear from God, if in all of your attempts to hear from God, you can't ever hear Him, then pick up the word and read Him. His will is on display right here. How do I pray the will of God? It's right in front of you. The character of God, the person of God, the will of God, the plan for man, everything is right here in these pages. You're wondering, how do I pray the will of God? Pray this book. Pray that revival would fall. Pray that His Spirit would be poured out on all men. Pray that in the last days, His Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. Pray that revival would come to America. Pray that souls would be won. Pray that the sick would be healed. Pray that the spiritually dead would come alive. Pray that His church would flourish and be fruitful. Pray that the fruits of the Spirit would be evident in your life. Pray that you would have patience. Pray that you would have peace when everybody around you is in chaos and calamity. Pray the will of God over your life and over those around you, and watch Him respond to you. Watch Him answer you. I got to be honest with you. I'm almost a little freaked out at how much He's answering prayer right now. But I'm thankful for it. And if you're thankful that you serve a living God who answers prayer, you ought to give Him praise like you mean it. Thank you, Jesus, that you're not a million miles away. And just for the record, I'm not telling you to not petition God for your needs. I'm not telling you don't take your needs to Him. Of course. But what I'm saying is the first priority needs to be His will, not yours. His purpose, not ours. What He's doing on the earth, not ours. Funny little verse says, if you'd seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, all other things will be added to your life. You start seeking His will. You start praying for souls. You start praying for revival. You start praying for His Spirit to move, and you'll start to look at your own life and say, the Lord is blessing me. He's blessing your life. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, hate to break it to you. Doesn't have to make sense. This whole book is called Supernatural. And if it made sense to you, it would require zero faith to walk it out. And without faith, it is impossible to reach God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, I don't believe in all that praying stuff. Well, let me introduce you to a whole new facet of living. It'll turn your world upside down. And can I just tell you something else real quick? Man, the Lord, you are good. Man, Lord, you are awesome. When I pray and genuinely intercede, like we're talking about today, I've never left time in prayer and felt chaotic in my spirit. I've never left his presence and felt more worried than I came in. I've never left his presence and doubted more than I had faith. He always leaves you better than how he found you. Look at your neighbor and say, he leaves you better than how he found you. When you spend time in his presence, he brings peace to your spirit that surpasses all understanding. And no matter what you're walking through, being connected with him through prayer and intercession assures you that you'll never walk it alone. It assures you that he'll be with you always, Emmanuel. And he'll give you a peace to walk through every storm that you'll ever face in your life. Thank you, Jesus. He is so, so good. As the band comes back to help me wind this thing down, I want to talk to you just a couple more moments about the art of praying through. One of the biggest hindrances to my prayer life has been my own sin and my own mistakes and my own failures. I don't know if anybody can relate to me, but whenever I would get alone before God and I would start to pray and I would start to converse with him, I would start to lean in to listen to his voice, I would be no sooner reminded of all of the stupid things that I had done that week and all the stupid things that I had said and all of the, anybody relate to me? You know what I'm saying? The Bible tells us about Satan, your adversary, the enemy of your souls. And the Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. Brethren is a fancy King James way of saying you. Believers. He's an accuser of the believers. And he brings railing accusation against you every time you go to pray. Every time you kneel down to pray or, you know, do the thing that Elijah did, put your head between your knees if you're that flexible, whatever it is, if you lay, whatever it is. And the devil will start to speak to you and say, hey, remember what you did yesterday? You're not worthy. Who do you think you are that God would hear you? You remember what you said to the woman at the drive-thru? You know, the woman at Starbucks who messed up your order, remember what you said to her? You're not worthy. God's not going to hear you. You remember what you've been thinking? You remember what you've been looking at? The Lord's not going to hear you. He brings railing accusation against you. But believers, can I just be honest with you for a minute? That will be the number one hindrance to your prayer life if there is anything. It's the accusations that the enemy brings against you. You believe them because you know they're true, because you've lived your life, and nobody knows your dirt better than you do. But if you're not careful, those accusations will do exactly what they were designed to do, and that is to stop you from reaching out to the only one who can help you. But let me just remind you of something really quickly. Your access to God is not dependent on your own righteousness. Your access to the Father is not dependent upon how good of a week you're having or how few four-letter words you used this week. Because you used two this week instead of eight the week before, now you can pray. What? The Bible says that our righteousness is still like filthiness before him. You'll never be worthy enough to get to the Father. That's why he sent his son for you, to take your place, to absorb your wickedness, and to give you righteousness that you don't deserve. It is unmerited favor of God, undeserved, unearned. It is the goodness and the grace of God that grants you access to the Father. So this morning, I need you to hear me today. Don't let your sin keep you from fellowship with God. Don't let your mistakes hinder your prayer life, because the reality of it all is you will never be worthy in all of your righteousness and in all of your obedience to the law. Even if you obeyed it to the letter of the law, you would still never be deserving to stand and pray before the throne of grace in your time of need. But this morning, you can pray from a place called righteousness, because by faith you are hidden in Christ Jesus. And now when you petition the throne of grace, when God looks at you, He doesn't look at you through the lens of your mistakes. He doesn't look at you through the lens of the railing accusations the enemy brings against you. When heaven looks at you, it sees the blood of Jesus that covers you, that atones every wicked thing you've ever done, and you stand before Him just as righteous as the Son of God Himself. You ought to give Him praise right now. Lord, we worship You and we thank You for the blood that was spilled for our righteousness. So when you approach God's presence, you need not be fearful or worrisome of whether He'll receive you, because you stand in a place called forgiven, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. I want to share one last thing. I know I keep saying that, but for real, you need this one. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, there is a woman with the issue of blood. Y'all, most of you are familiar with the story. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, bleeding, dying from the inside out. And faith began to swell in her. Faith began to rise in her. And she heard that Jesus was passing by, so she pressed through the crowd just to touch the hem of His garment. And when she touched the hem of His garment, the Bible says that virtue, power fled out from Jesus, and she was healed. But do you know the rest of the story? Because her response was to cower in fear. After touching the hem of the garment, she wanted to blend in with the crowd. She wanted to just disappear because she was afraid to approach God in her time of need because of the mistakes that she'd made in her past. She was fearful that He would judge her, that He would condemn her like the law and other religious leaders have in the past. But the Bible says that when the woman with the issue of blood touched the garment of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus turned around and He spoke mercy and He said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." He received her. He didn't banish her from His presence. And many of you, you neglect prayer. You neglect approaching God because you're afraid that He'll reject you. You're afraid He'll push you away. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Because when He turned around to the woman, He didn't say, "You touched me? Get out." He said, "Daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you well." Stand up with me all over this place. Father, we love You and we worship You. We thank You so much for what a good and gracious God You are. Lord, help us to be a people of prayer who lean in to the whispers of heaven, who lean in to the holy scriptures of God, and we pray Your will be done on the earth. Lord, thank You for answering prayer. Thank You for moving powerfully in this church and in this body. And Lord, we pray that this would be a house of prayer and a people who passionately serve You all the days of their life in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.